The chimes of time ring out the news, another day is through. Someone slipped and fell. Was that someone you? You may have longed for added strength, your courage to renew. Do not be disheartened, for I bring hope to you. It is no secret what God can do. What He's done for others, He'll do for you. With arms wide open, He'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do. There is no night, for in His light you'll never walk alone. Always feel at home wherever you may roam. There is no power can conquer you while God is on your side. Just take Him at His promise. Don't run away and hide. It is no secret what God can do. What He's done for others, He'll do for you. What God can do.
Amen. Pastor.
All right, if you would take your Bibles, we're going to go to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew 22, and we'll begin reading in verse number 36. Matthew 22, 36. We're going to go ahead and back up to verse 34. So Matthew 22, verse 34. Here's what it says. But when the Pharisees heard that the Sadducees, that He had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked Him a question, tempting Him, and saying, Master, which is the great commandment of the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. And the second is like unto, this is the first and great commandment. The second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we do thank You for this time. I do pray, God, that You'd help us as we end this year. This is it for our year, for our church. God, I pray that You help. I just pray that You'd speak to our hearts as we head into the new year. And I do pray, God, that You would work in a mighty and powerful way. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. We began the year by introducing a new theme to our church, with purpose. We live with a purpose for why we do what we do. Without a purpose, you're kind of aimless. There's not a lot of focus. And really what begins to happen, if your purpose isn't from the Word of God, if it isn't developed from the Bible, it becomes a selfish purpose for living, a self-focused purpose. And to be honest with you, when you live for self, when you live for just getting the most that you can out of life or your own happiness, it becomes really empty, really fast, really meaningless. And it becomes very broken. And kind of, it becomes a place where you begin to despair even of life. And so we want to have purpose. Purpose consists of the central motivating aims of your life. Basically, the reason you get up in the morning. What is it that you focus on that drives you each and every day? For some, their purpose is to obtain wealth. And they get up in the morning driven and focused to make money. Others, it would be to be a success. Not necessarily money-driven, although they want the money that comes with it. It's just to be a success, to accomplish something, to find meaning in a successful business and growing that thing. And that becomes their purpose, their focus for life. That's why they get up in the morning. Purpose will guide your decisions. It will influence your behavior, and it's going to shape your goals. I hope that as you enter 2019, you have some goals. These are some things that I want to do. I hope that at the very top of your list are spiritual things, godly things, things that involve the Word of God and prayer and church attendance and church service and growth groups. I really do hope that you would write some goals and say, you know, I'm going to read my Bible every day, should God allow me, if I'm not in a coma, in 2019. As part of my daily routine, I'm going to spend time in God's Word. I also hope that in 2019, at the very top of your list of goals, that you would say, I'm going to talk to God every day. And so, both with the Word of God and with prayer, it's been said that the Bible will keep you from sin, and sin will keep you from the Bible. It's true of prayer as well. Prayer will keep you from sin, and sin will keep you from prayer. And so if we're going to live a holy life in 2019, both prayer and the Word of God need to be an integral part of what we do. And then the community that God has developed in our church, we want to be connected to that community. And I think that's important. That's a goal that you should set. Say, hey, I'm going to connect with the community that God has given me in my church family in 2019. And maybe there's some area of service. I read a couple goals I think are really good, to write a name of one person in 2019 and pray for that person every day for 30 days. Maybe that would be your goal. And that's great. But write some spiritual goals. I do also hope that you write some other goals as well. The goals to maybe have something to exercise or eating healthy or whatever good thing that you can put into your life. But make sure at the top of that is some goals for God, some spiritual goals. Our goals, our purpose create meaning, and oftentimes our purpose is connected to vocation, and that we feel most satisfied when we work our purpose. But I think that all of us understand that if your purpose is simply work, you'll find it being meaningless very quickly. For us this year, our church, we looked at our purpose for church. What is God's purpose for the church? What's His design? Why does He want us to get up in the morning? What does He want us to fulfill as a body of believers? And from His Word, what does He want us to do? What's some things that we can, maybe three things or four things that we can write out? Say, this is what God wants from a church. Because I think that all of us would agree that in 2018, now moving into 2019, there are some churches that have lost their way. And they're doing things and involved with things that really don't matter to God. Or they do matter to God in the wrong way. And I think that we've lost our ability to really make a difference in our communities. And I think we're seeing that in our world today. And we talked in our growth groups about the culture in which we live and the people in which we live around and how they've seemingly kind of gone the way of the world or gone the way of against God. They've chosen to live a life contrary to the Word of God. And we're seeing the results of that. But I really do believe that one of the biggest causes of that is churches that have kind of lost their purpose. I think that we need to take a look at ourselves and say, what are we doing to be a light? That's what God intends us to be, the salt and light in our world, to make a difference, to change the direction, not by yelling or protesting or complaining, but by being different. by living according to his word, by being a witness, a true, genuine Christian that is truly kind, caring, and helpful. So for our church, at the beginning of last year, or actually into 2017, our leadership team of our church, we kind of looked at the process for how we develop and make disciples and how we're going to grow. And we looked at our process for prior to 2018, and really the process was somewhat complex, how we make disciples. And it was even at times burdensome to both our leadership and to our general church membership. And so in January this year, we kind of stripped away all the clutter and all of the things that kind of kept us from doing all that God wants us to do, and focused on doing exactly what God's word tells us to do. And it's been a journey. We kind of introduced it to you step by step. It began with loving God. Kind of focused on that for a few months. And then we went into growing together. We kind of focused on that for a few months. And then serving others. We kind of focused on that for a few months to try to introduce to our church what we believe is the purpose for church. Really, simplifying the church approach has been highly effective, I think, for our church. And it helped our members grow spiritually. We want to make an impact in our community. Now, we still have a long ways to go, but the foundation is there. And in the Word of God, the religious scene when Jesus arrived in this world was complicated and it was cluttered. I mean, it's tough to remember all of the things that they had to do in their religious community, in the Jewish nation at the time of Christ. The religious leaders had developed a system of 613 laws. And there's a lot of them. That's 613 things you got to remember to do. The reason they chose that number, 613, was because that's how many letters were in the Ten Commandments. And it became burdensome. It became bondage. It became something that nobody could actually do. Even the Pharisees, who claimed to be the religious leaders of that day, had outwardly everything taken care of, but inwardly, the Bible says, Jesus said they were not right. They were, and he said, you should have taken care of the inward before you ever took care of the outward. And so they had a great pretense and a great show of godliness and being close to God, but in reality, they were far from him, and Jesus had a lot to say about their condition in their heart. And then there was Jesus. He was different. The Pharisees attempted to trip him up in this passage of Scripture in Matthew 22. They saw that he had silenced the Sadducees, and so they say, hey, we'll show him, right? And a lawyer stepped up willing to tempt him, and he said, which is the great commandment in the law? Of these 613 commands that we have kind of compiled, which one is the greatest? Oh, we've got him here, right? What Jesus said next is really refreshing. Truly amazing. It's empowering, and honestly, it's motivating. Because he said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. He took the complexity of the law. He took the 613 rituals and things that they had compiled. And he reduced them to two. That's it. Just love God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And then love your neighbor as yourself. And that's it. Do that, and you're good. That's it. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. He made it very simple. And something where you can look at it and say, you know what? I can love God with all my heart. And honestly, if if God's Spirit was within me and can help me, I can love my neighbor as myself. And so for our church, we sought to do the same thing, take the complexity in the process of making disciples and simplify it. And engage our whole church in the process. And again, we're still working on this, but that's the idea. So if you haven't got in on the process, I really want to encourage you to make 2019 your year. As far as spiritual goals go, I hope that right near the top of the list you would write, I'm going to love God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind. That's my goal for 2019. Now, there are some things that can help you love God. And so we'll talk about those in just a second. But the reality is that that's your goal. There's some things that you need to do. And that should be our goal. Far beyond making a certain level of income or having a certain level of success or certain level of physical fitness or health or anything like that is to love God with all your heart. And then, right next to it, I'm going to love my neighbor as myself. Those two words, as myself, bring a lot of clarity and responsibility. Because we can love our neighbors, right? I mean, we can care for them. We can say, hey, how's it going? But then as ourselves brings a whole different perspective. That's part of the serve others that we have in our church. So as we close out this year, I want to kind of review and remind ourselves of our purpose as a church. The first thing is that just that loving God. Loving God. It begins in the heart with a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. That's how it begins. If you don't know Him, you can't love Him. And as we gather and participate in worship and respond to the preaching of God's word, this love for God flourishes. Again, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. We love God together as a church family when we meet together to worship Him on Sunday mornings. When we began our growth groups this year, if you recall, the study was Crazy Love. That was what we began with. And in that study, we were challenged to love God deeper. And it was challenging. There were some thoughts and things that even some had a hard time accepting. And they said, hey, I don't know about this. But it's about loving God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. How we grow in our love for God is we seek to understand His greatness and the length that He went to love us. You see, in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 19, the Bible tells us we love Him because He first loved us. And the more you understand about His love for you and His greatness or His glory, the greater your love will grow for Him. Just things like looking at the creation of the world. It's fascinating. It's unbelievable. It's amazing. Did you know that a caterpillar has 228 separate and distinct muscles in its head? I know, you think about, well, what? It's kind of a lot for a bug, right? That's kind of a lot for a caterpillar. But that's God's design. It's beautiful. It's amazing. It's incredible that God would design something like that. The average elm tree has approximately 6 million leaves on it. It's crazy. That's God just being God. It's part of His creation. I am told, I have not tested this, but I'm told that your own heart generates enough pressure as it pumps blood throughout your body that it can squirt blood up to 30 feet. I've not tried it. But apparently this is true. That's amazing. That's incredible. And you need that blood pressure. We check our blood pressure and we do all these different things to make sure our blood pressure is right. If it gets too low, we're in trouble. If it gets too high, we're in trouble. So we want to keep it right there in that sweet spot. But that's our heart generating that pressure. It's pretty amazing. Have you thought about just the creation of God and how incredible diverse it is? And how creative God is? When we talk about creative people, and there are some people who are gifted to be creative, but they're a creation of God, and they're no match for God and His creativity. He's amazing. Did you know that God didn't have to make hundreds of different kinds of bananas? There's hundreds of species of bananas, right? I mean, honestly, how many did he have to make? Right, I mean, just one, right? Just one banana. That's all, we're good. We're good with one, right? It's okay. And so it's incredible. He didn't have to put 3,000 different species of trees within 1 square mile of the Amazon jungle, but he did. He didn't have to create, by the way, have you ever thought about how we laugh? There's so many different types of laughter in the way, even from ourselves, the way in which we laugh sometimes differently than other times. Our own laughter is different, but then when we start comparing our laughters among ourselves, there's just the way we laugh. And God did that. He's unique. He's incredible. He's just in His creation, the things that He made for us to inspire us, amaze us. God is amazing. But in His Word, there's some things that are revealed about God that also bring us great love for Him. The first thing about God that I think that we can really love is the fact that He is holy. God is holy. And one of the pictures of His holiness, and we see several of them in the Bible, was Revelation chapter 4 and verse 8. And the four beasts had each of them 6 wings about Him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come." So in the throne room of God, there are these 24 or 24 elders who are interesting looking, and they are constantly, day and night, they don't rest, repeating this phrase, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come." That's it. Because He is holy. God is holy. He's free from that which defiles. He is undefiled. And we are not. We are defiled. We are broken. Now we are to live our lives in such a way by the Spirit of God that is equally holy or is also holy. "Be holy as I am holy, saith the Lord." So we are to live our life free from that which defiles as well. But we still have brokenness. We're not like God. He is holy. And we should love Him because He is holy. You know, it's interesting, throughout the ages, people have imagined God and created gods and different things, and it's amazing to look at those gods, and there's so much, when you look at those gods and study those gods, what people believe about these gods, there's a lot of corruption. There's a lot of self-serving gods that people have created. And just outright cruel. But God, Jehovah God, is holy. He is also eternal. Psalm 102 and verse 27. "But thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end." Again in Revelation 4 and verse 8. "Which was and is to come." He's eternal. He never had a beginning. He never had an ending. He's the Alpha. He's the Omega. He's eternal. And we should love Him because He's eternal. This one might bring more fear than love, but God is all-knowing. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13, "Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him of whom we have to do." God knows everything. So yes, He knows about your sin. He knows about your struggle. He knows about your brokenness. But He also knows about your brokenness and your sin and your struggle. And He cares. That's the amazing thing about God, is He knows where we're at, and He knows what we're going through, and He cares. Cast your care upon Him, for He careth for you. He cares for you. that inspired love in our heart to him. And then he's all powerful. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16, for by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. That's an amazing statement. All things, heaven and earth, visible and invisible, he made. He's all powerful. And what's interesting about all of this is he didn't just, you know, create it with his hands, he just spoke it into existence by the word of his mouth. He said it, and it was so. This is incredible. God is all-powerful, and we should love him because he is all-powerful. But then there's another attribute of God, and there's many, but just focus on a couple this morning, is that God is fair, and he's just. He's completely just. This is one of the ones that human beings have the hardest to accept. We don't like to think that God is just. You know who we like to think is just? Me. Us. I'm just. I know what's right and wrong. I know where God gets a little bit out of line. That's what we say. God was not fair to do that. And we often hear people say, how is God just when he allows this to happen? Oh, he's just. He is fair. He is holy. He is righteous. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy are the evil way. It takes a lot for us to comprehend God's total hatred for sin. We don't really get it. We don't. We make excuses like, yeah, I'm a little bit prideful at times, but you know what? Everybody else struggles with pride too. Oh, now that you mention it, yeah, that's what you're going to... God's okay with it. Yeah, of course. Everybody struggles with it. So he's no big deal, right? No, it actually says he hates that. He abhors that. He despises that. You and I are not allowed to tell God how much he can hate it. Did you consider that? He is just in hating sin. And we can't confuse the matter and explain what he hates and what he doesn't hate and how much he hates and how much he doesn't hate it. He is just in what he does. I am not. And we live in a world today that knows about God, especially in our current culture. They know about God. They even want the benefits of knowing God. But when it comes to some of the things that we struggle with, they'd rather not accept it. And in fact, because of that, we have developed the mindset that God is just interested in our happiness. Did you know God is just in not being just interested in our happiness? But in fact, his glory? And he's just in doing so? So the chief end of man is not our own happiness. That's humanism. The chief end of man is the glory of God. Our role and our purpose as humans is to bring glory to God. And we do that by understanding that there are some things that he hates. And that is sin. Pride. Arrogancy. The evil way. And I know. You do it. I do it. And I look at you. Hey, well, they're prideful too. So, you know, we're all prideful. No, he hates it. And he's just in doing so. Please understand this. God never excuses sin. Never. Ever excuses sin. Oh, well, they're just there. Nope, 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 nope. There's a penalty for sin. It is death. It absolutely is. There's nothing you can do to escape that reality. Now we thank God that he's provided his son, Jesus Christ, to take the penalty of death for us, and all who believe in him will be saved. And we praise God for that, and that's one of the main reasons, again, why we love him, because he first loved us. He commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, and we thank God for that. But that still helps us understand the reality that God hates sin, and God will not excuse sin, and God must punish sin, including taking the life of his only begotten son. hates it. And we should love him for his justice. Did you know that not one single murderer, liar, thief, evil person, sinner, will escape without payment for their sin? He will punish all sin, and he's just in doing so. Again, there's only two ways to have it paid for. You pay for it yourself, or Jesus pays for it for you. But it will be paid for. Sin, every sin. And that's one of the things that we remember. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. So be very careful about excusing sin. You don't have to cast the first stone. You shouldn't do that. But that doesn't mean we excuse it. It's still sin. And it still must be paid for. And God is just, and he will pay for it. Or cause you to pay for it one way or the other. And as we study these attributes in the Word of God, as we spend time in the Word of God, our love for him should grow. And it should increase. And our heart should increase for him, because he is good. He is good in what he does. He's also just. And sometimes it's hard for us to see that and accept that, but it's true. God is God, and we should love him. Did you know the greatest thing you can ever do in this life, speaking of goals, is to love God? Of all the things you could ever do, loving God is the greatest. I mean, you start thinking some of the greatest things you could do. What if you could cure cancer? Oh, that'd be pretty amazing. Honestly, I would really, really, really like that for people that are here in this church and for others who have suffered from that. That'd be amazing. But that's not the greatest thing you can do. It's to love God. We love him because he first loved us. So this morning, do you love him? In 2018, has your love for God grown or has it decreased? Has it waned? If your love has waned, spend time in his word considering his greatness and his glory. Search him out. Find him. He's not very far from you. Look in his word. Discover him and fall in love with him. And have that love grow. There's a second purpose that I believe that God would have for us as a church, and that is that we grow together. Not just grow, but grow together. It is true that God placed within you his Holy Spirit, and he has given you his word, and these things the Spirit of God will make known to you by the Spirit of God. But he's also designed that you grow in community. That's his design. We just follow it. He did not leave you to be an island unto yourself. I have the Holy Spirit, I have the Word of God, I'm good. And you are good. But you're incomplete. It's just his design. It's just his purpose, is that we grow together. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, the Bible says, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen." This is the purpose of our growth groups, is to grow spiritually, but to grow together. We want to grow together in God's word. And it's his design. He's interested in the unity in a local church body concerning the truth of God's word. He is. He's interested in us having accountability. He's interested in us having ideas that are from the Word of God that are passed around. It's what he wants. It's how he designed it. He didn't design us to be a person who just lives on a mountaintop with the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. Again, those things, they're amazing. But he wants us to together. That's why the body's building fitly joined together, for both growing in his word and serving in the community. We do it together. That's the idea anyway. It's his purpose. This doesn't mean that we don't have differences of opinions and different perspectives, but that we are committed to growing in our knowledge of Him from His Word. We're going to have different opinions. We're going to have different perspectives. That's fine. It's okay. As long as we're focused on His Word, focused on Christ in His Word, and that the Word of God will reign, right? The moment somebody starts saying the Word of God isn't true, or this particular passage isn't accurate or whatever, that's where we can have some issues. But the reality is we're focused on this. It doesn't mean we have to agree 100% on everything. We can have ideas on how we serve and where we serve, different things like that. But in 2019, we're going to focus on growing in God's Word on a personal level. So we need to read the Bible every day, spend time in God's Word. Growing on God's Word on a church level in this body of believers, and then sharing God's Word with our community, our world, helping them see the truth of God's Word too. The most effective way to do this is through our growth groups. And there's one near you. This new year, the week of January 6th, getting one. Really, getting one. And if you say, man, I'm so busy, I'm working so hard, just come to church at 9 a.m. You're already coming to church anyway at 10. Just come at 9. We have it. It's easy. It's simple. It's not hard. It's there for you to take. Grow. That's what we wanted, the place where it's easy, simple. Just participate. Show up 1 hour earlier. So get involved in your growth group and be involved. And we're praying this ministry will grow. We're praying that this ministry will, my prayer is that it will be all over the island, that we'll have groups that will meet from all the way to Kekaha and in between and everywhere, that these groups will be on every night, at Starbucks, wherever, so we can grow. And that's the idea with this, to grow together. And then the third thing is our purpose that we see is to serve others. We serve others as we find a place of ministry in the local body. We serve others by sharing the gospel with those who need the Lord, by witnessing to friends and coworkers and neighbors and loved ones, as well as participating in church outreach and giving to missions. All of this is part of serving. As a church, our mission is to reach the world with the gospel of Christ. We want to utilize every available biblical means, and we want to disciple and train every member to participate in accomplishing God's purposes for the church. That's it. I mean, that's what we're after. That's what we're fighting for. Is to reach the world with the gospel of Christ and disciple those to do the same. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, the Bible says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Our purpose became our theme for 2018, but it will remain our purpose in 2019 and beyond. Should the Lord tarry, that's going to be our purpose. Loving God, growing together, and serving others. So let me ask you, what is your purpose? I do think that you should sit down at some point between now and the new year and write out your purpose. Why are you here on earth? What are you doing? What are you trying to accomplish? What are your goals? And consider those purpose for why God made you. Why did He make you? Why are you created? What does He want you to do with your life? From His Word, find it. It's there. You have a purpose. He has a design for you. He has a goal for you. And yes, the temptation is to live for our own purposes, and to live for our own achievements, and live for our own things, but those are all empty. Find God's for your life in His Word and live it. So that when you're done, you might hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You finished your race. You've run your course. That's the idea. That's the goal. Again, your life's purpose consists of the central motivating aims of your life. The reason you get up in the morning. Purpose can guide life decisions, influence behavior, shape goals, offer a sense of direction, and create meaning. For our church, our purpose, the reason why we get up in the morning so early on a Sunday morning, right, is to love God, to grow together, and serve others. I want to close with this thought. I know this is true, because it's true in my life. We set out for goals, we set out with purpose, and somewhere along the line, we fail. We fall. I heard that the average New Year's resolution lasts 18 days. That's how long the diet lasts. 18 days. Oh, man. Somebody said, as they started out last year, they said, you know, my goal in 2018 was to lose 10 pounds. I only have 15 pounds to go. Right? I mean, it's almost there. Getting close. And that's kind of the way life works, right? We start out on a journey and we say, I'm going to do this. And guess what happens? We fall. We fail. Walter Payton was a famous running back, and he held the record for most yards carried by a running back in the NFL for a long time. And they compiled all of his yards together. They said that he ran over 9 miles during his football games in his career. 9 miles. But what we often don't realize and fail to realize is that he fell and got knocked down every 4.6 yards. So every 4.6 yards, he got knocked down on average, and he'd have to get back up and go again. Sometimes he was injured, had to sit out, but you know what? He came back and kept going. Such is life.